Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have an exclusive interview with Senator Rand Paul. We dive into his new book, The Case Against Socialism. You guys should all buy it. We also talk about the Syria issue with the Kurds with some exclusive insight into the Turkey-Kurd-Syria issue. We got a really exciting one for you guys right now. So if you want to get future episodes of the Charlie Kirk Show, and if you want to help our show out and help me out, please go to the Apple Podcast app, type in the Charlie Kirk Show, press subscribe, leave a review, and press 5 stars. That really helps us out. Buckle up. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show, your home, a conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
So before we dive into it with Senator Rand Paul, I appreciate all the 5-star ratings. I appreciate everyone leaving reviews. And of course, please press subscribe. It really helps us out. The fight that we're doing at Turning Point USA is the fight against socialism. You know, as a nonprofit, we don't take stances on elections or on any sort of candidates, but we do take stances on ideas. And socialism is an evil, murderous, immoral idea. And I'm just so thankful that Senator Rand Paul sat down with us to have this conversation. TPUSA.com, if you want to start a chapter, get involved. If you want to give a donation, a tax-deductible donation, it's tpusa.com/donate. Turning Point USA is the nation's largest student organization that is fighting for these ideas on campuses across the country. And just last night, just to give you an idea of how the conversation in America is going further to the left, you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar, leaving Ayanna Pressley kind of all by herself outside of the squad. They all endorse Senator Bernie Sanders, which shows that they're trying to make the entire conversation of the Democrat Party go further left. They're trying to make Warren go left, not allow her the cover so that she can then go secure moderate endorsements. Their endorsement of Senator Bernie Sanders ensures that this Democrat primary is going to get very interesting, very divisive. The Democrat Civil War is only beginning, and boy, I can't wait to see this metaphorical civil war happen in front of our very eyes. Please go check out Senator Rand Paul's new book. We're so honored to have him. Enjoy, everybody. Without any further ado, Senator Rand Paul, exclusively on The Charlie Kirk Show.
We're so thankful to have the senator that continues to fight for liberty and freedom every single day, the great Senator Rand Paul, who has an exciting new book out that everyone listening to this should go purchase a copy of. Go get your book right now. It is The Case Against Socialism. Senator Paul, thanks so much for joining us today. Tell us about this book and tell us about some of the feedback you've been receiving.
Well, thanks, Charlie. The book came about because, you know, my wife and I kept seeing all of these polls of young people saying, well, they have a positive perception of socialism, and like, we're alarmed. I mean, we hear that and we worry that, my goodness, are they not teaching history anymore? And I think it is important. So we go through a little bit of the history of socialism. And over the last century, socialism really has been associated with genocide and famine almost invariably. You've got Hitler, you have Stalin, you have Mao, you have Pol Pot, you have Castro. And then we get to contemporary times and you have Venezuela. And all of Hollywood loved Venezuela. They said, oh, this is democratic socialism. This is going to be wonderful. And Chavez, the socialist, who is a buddy of Castro, was elected and then succeeded by the guy they have now, Maduro. But the thing is, what we found is it's an utter and complete disaster. And now people, there's such a lack of food that the average person in Venezuela has lost 20 pounds. And people are actually eating their pets. There are gangs. We tell the story of a 16-year-old girl whose gang territory is several dumpsters that she guards so she can try to get the food scraps that people throw away in those dumpsters. And at the same time, the leaders, Maduro, dear leader, is probably 50 pounds overweight. So it's just a sort of a real physical example of, you know, the left complains about the top 1% in our country. Well, socialism has the top 1% also, but it's the leaders, his cronies, and the generals and their families that eat. And it's an utter disaster for the economy, as you see sort of mass and widespread starvation. The only good news I can tell you about the polling among young people is, yes, they seem to have a positive perception of socialism, but they don't seem to know what it is. About 16% of kids that are interviewed will tell you that socialism is the state owning the means of production. Most of them are stuck in some sort of touchy-feely kind of, oh, well, we want things to be fair. We don't like income inequality. You know, we don't like greed. But they don't really realize that the end result of all of this, the system of socialism, ends up impoverishing people to the tune of millions.
Well, Senator, that is such an important point. And the lack of philosophy that is being taught in our colleges and high schools is so evident. And this is rooted in the false promise of Rousseau, and even going as back far as Plato, where these students think that they can create utopia by eradicating private property and going after, you know, the free enterprise system.
All right, everybody, you guys got to get your Vincero watch. Vincero watches create exceptionally crafted watches and sell them at a fair price. While each watch is painstakingly handcrafted for absolute quality, they come at a fraction of the price of other luxury watches of the same look and feel. Vincero claims to be the best in their industry, and we agree with them. There's a reason Vincero now has over 18,000 five-star reviews, because their modern timepieces masterfully blend fashion and function into one affordable timepiece. An exclusive deal for us at our partners with Vincero. They're offering 15% off our entire order with the code KIRK. So just, if you get an order, use the code KIRK, head to VinceroWatches.com, use the code KIRK for 15% off. For daily wear, special occasions, or around the office, a classic wristwatch is something every man needs, because they establish the person who's wearing them. That's you, as the most ambitious and interesting person in the room. When you've got on a nice watch, it changes the way you carry yourself, the way you feel, and therefore the way people look at you. Vincero timepieces are bold, uncompromising showstoppers that can match any outfit. With styles ranging from classic chronos to rugged sports watches, Vincero has a watch for every style, occasion, and price point. Plus, all straps are interchangeable, giving you more versatility. This makes it easy to change up your watch. When you change up your style, there's no excuse for you not to look great, no matter what the occasion. You guys got to get your Vincero watches right now. Every guy needs a watch. Every person who knows a guy needs a watch. Therefore, everyone needs a Vincero watch. Don't forget, Vincero has free worldwide shipping. Whether you are a watch connoisseur looking for your first timepiece, a Vincero watch is going to exceed your expectations and make you feel more confident. Remember, my listeners get an extra 15% off. Just use the code KIRK, K-I-R-K, when you check out. Go to VinceroWatches.com. That's V-I-N-C-E-R-O, watches.com. Use that code KIRK for 15% off your entire order. They've had styles that I announced sell out before. So before you will do anything else, do yourself a huge favor and go pick out your new favorite accessory. You will not be disappointed. Don't forget your code KIRK, K-I-R-K. That's V-I-N-C-E-R-O, watches.com. Use that code KIRK for 15% off your entire order.
So, Senator, what do you say? And I get this question a lot on the work that we do on college campuses. What do you say when people say, oh, that wasn't real socialism? Real socialism would be places such like Scandinavia. And I know in your book you talk about Scandinavia. I would love to have you comment on that.
I think the first comment is this, that all throughout history, when they first see socialism crop up, the intellectuals on the left like it. So we had intellectuals in our country who liked Stalin. We had reporters from the New York Times who won Pulitzer Prizes reporting what a great place Soviet Union was. Ultimately, the New York Times apologized like 50 years later. So we have had people that do think that's good socialism until they learn about the authoritarian and the authoritarianism that it evolves into, the violence and the famine. But then you get to modern times and they say, well, what we really want, they used to all want Venezuela. Now they've disowned Venezuela. But now they say it's Scandinavia. They say they are democratic socialists and they want Scandinavia. Well, my wife and I, as we wrote this book, discovered that, number one, Scandinavia is not socialist. They have private property. The means of production, the industries are owned privately. They have a private stock exchange. And interestingly, they have low corporate income taxes. Now, the other side will say, yeah, but they have all this so-called free stuff. They have free college education and free paid leave. It's true that they have those things, but it's not free. The interesting thing is it's paid for by very high taxes on the working class. There's a 25% sales tax, they call a VAT, that is predominantly on the backs of the working class. But there's also a 60% income tax that starts at $60,000. So when Bernie is over here saying how much he loves the socialism of Scandinavia, he's saying, yeah, we'll pay for it, only with taxing rich people. You know, AOC saying the same thing. All we got to do is tax rich people. Well, it turns out that their role model of Scandinavia doesn't do that at all. They have so-called free stuff, welfare state stuff, but it's paid for by massive taxes on the working class and the middle class.
Senator, that's such a great point. We're talking to Senator Rand Paul, author of The Case Against Socialism. Everyone listening to this should go get their copy or get a couple copies. And for any parents out there, go buy this and give it to a college student, because this is a thoughtful, intellectual defense against the rise of socialism, which is a clear and present danger. And also, Senator, I always like to trip up people that advocate for the Scandinavian countries by saying, hey, you do know that every one of the Scandinavian countries except Finland do not have a minimum wage. Of course, they wouldn't support getting rid of a minimum wage here in this country. So let's talk about the inside flap cover of your book. You quote President Trump, who says, quote, America will never be a socialist country. Why do you think Democrats are now openly embracing socialism in the 2020 presidential race?
Well, this is very worrisome to us that they are, because, you know, when I was a kid in the 1970s, we thought the liberals often were spouting socialism, but they were clever and they would never accept the label socialism because it was so unpopular. So it is worrisome that people like Bernie Sanders are running fairly popularly. AOC is winning on the Democratic side, and they're running as socialists. They actually have a website, the Democratic Socialists of America, that talks about government ownership of the means of production. Now, they kind of soften and they say, oh, we're not going to own all the means of production, just the big, heavy industries will be owned by government. But they don't tell you exactly how the government comes to get these things. And this is where there's a relationship between socialism and authoritarianism or violence, is that ultimately there comes a time when people resist. Because, see, somebody already owns these industries. Somebody already owns the farm. Somebody already owns the houses. And you can tax people a lot, and a lot of times they won't resist or become violent. There's a breaking point for that also, but there's a real breaking point when they come to your house and say, you no longer own your house, and we have five different families that are going to live in here. We'll give you a closet to live in, but you're now sharing your house with five families. That's the point at which there's resistance. And when it happened in China or when it happened in Russia, what you did is you got the destruction of the economy and mass famine, but also those who resisted were treated with the billy club, treated with the truncheon, treated with jail, and treated ultimately with death.
Now that Senator Sanders is running as a socialist, but others like Senator Warren, they claim socialist policies without the label. Is there a distinction? And I have a theory on this, but which do you actually find to be more dangerous? The Senator Sanders who says he's a socialist, or the more Alinskyite label of Senator Warren, who claims she's a capitalist when really her policies are very Marxist and socialist?
Ultimately, there's not a dime's worth of difference really between Elizabeth Warren in platform or otherwise than Bernie. She's just smarter. She's craftier. She's, understands the political realm better. And she also probably understands that the polling that shows some Democrats leaning towards socialism, ultimately for the general public, socialism is still not an acceptable thing. So she's going to be for everything Bernie's for. When Bernie drops out, she's going to get his vote. And I think she's most likely to get the nomination. But I don't think there's a dime's worth of difference. And I think she embraces most of the socialism that's Bernie's for. You know, they're all for a wealth tax. They're all for this and that. They're all for Medicare for all, that ultimately would ban and make private insurance illegal. I think that is one of their Achilles heels, because I think that ultimately, you know, there may be several million union workers in Michigan who are going to be quite unhappy when they're told that the Democrat nominee wants to take away their health insurance and give them government insurance. Union workers are pretty happy with the health insurance they have now.
Totally. And they've bargained and negotiated that over many years.
According to a 2003 Bureau of Justice study, 50% of all guns that were used in crimes were obtained illegally or through a street source. Another 40% were obtained through family or friends. More recently, a 2008 study in Pennsylvania came up with the exact same result. 79% of all perpetrators who committed a crime with a firearm didn't own it legally. Crime, especially violent crime, is tragic. That's a fact. But we can't let fear and misinformation make it worse. That's why the USCCA wants you to take your own self-defense and the defense of your loved ones seriously. When you join the United States Concealed Carry Association, you'll get an instant access to the industry-leading self-defense education training and legal protection. Plus, this month, they're giving away 19 free chances to win $1,000 for a defensive item of your choice when you activate your risk-free membership. Text Kirk, K-I-R-K, to 87222. That's 87222, K-I-R-K, right now to learn more and get your 19 free chances to win. That's Kirk, K-I-R-K, to 87222 to claim your entries and learn more. Kirk to 87222.
So, Senator, one thing that I find to be a big challenge when we talk about liberty and freedom, and I think you are the greatest advocate for liberty in the entire U.S. Senate currently, and maybe, you know, in American, you know, modern American history. I'm just so appreciative and fond because you take stands on the tough fights, such as the size and scope of government, reckless spending, and these endless, ridiculous foreign wars. But our message of individual liberty at times can be more difficult to try to convince people because it's easier to hand out stuff. Do you attribute that to the rise of socialism in America and across the world, that it is just easier to promise people more resources or to promise them more government programs, and that we have a more difficult sales pitch? Or do you think it might be even more deep than that?
Well, I think you're right that one way of putting socialism into a nutshell and telling people concisely what it is it's taking stuff from one group of people and giving it to another. It's also a false promise or an allure because people are promised that it'll be free and there'll be no payment for it. And I think you're also right that when we talk about our arguments versus the left, is that our founding fathers enshrined rights which weren't the right to something, but they were rights to be left alone, basically. Left alone in your religion, left alone in your speech, your association, left alone to own a gun, left alone in your house unless you can, a judge can prove with probable cause that the government can come in your house. Most of it's about being left alone, but there wasn't like a right to a house, a right to a car, a right to water, a right to basic food, a right to health care. Not that any of these things should be not found to be important, but the government wasn't to provide these. So when we make these arguments, the left says, oh, everybody should have a right to health care. Everybody should have a right to a cell phone. And then the government, you know, the government's going to give this to you and it's going to be free. The Republican response or the limited government conservative response is difficult because what we're offering is an abstraction, but there's a lot of concrete details to back it up. If you look at prosperity around the world, it's directly linked to the amount of political freedom you have. So the most prosperous countries with the highest median incomes are all the freest. And this is one of the things they don't get and they refuse to get right now. The median income in the United States has gone up 4,000. We're up, I think we went from 60 to 64,000 under President Trump, and largely because a tax cut left more of the money in the hands of the people who earned it. And guess what? The economy is growing gangbusters. And I told the left the other day, and one of them's head almost exploded on MSNBC. I told him, look, tax revenue is up. You know, she was trying to blame the deficit on tax cuts. And I said, look, we cut the rates, but we have more revenue this year than last year. And she said, well, the debt went up. And I said, yes, it went up because both the right and the left continue to spend too much money. It's not a revenue problem. But the one thing we did get by leaving more revenue in the hands of those who earned it is we got a huge outpouring of economic productivity and economic growth.
Well, Senator, that's exactly right. We need more champions in Congress that actually stand up and fight the tough fights. And it seems like there's a bipartisan consensus where the Republicans are perfectly fine expanding the defense budget, which is hardly Department of Defense anymore. It's now the Department of Offensive War at times, it seems. And on the other side, you have the Democrats that don't necessarily disagree with that, but they're okay with spending enormous amounts on social welfare spending. And so, Senator, I ask this question to people all the time, and I'd be curious to get your take. Do you think America will be more or less socialist in 10 years?
I think that's an open question. And the reason I think it's an open question is elections have consequences, and we have a big election coming up in 2020. And it's going to be incredibly important what happens. And we've never had a president like President Trump before. And I can tell you, when I started out, you know, I was one of his opponents. I said I wasn't sure if he'd be a conservative or not. But I can tell you, I've been impressed. I mean, what you find is he's appointed the most conservative people to the judiciary of any Republican president in my lifetime. When you look at foreign policy, he's the only Republican president I've ever seen have any doubts about keeping our soldiers overseas forever. I've got three young soldiers in my family. My father-in-law served for a career in the military. My dad was in for 5 years. We appreciate what our soldiers do for us, but it's not fair to send these kids to war forever and never come out of and understand where we declare victory. So I'm proud of President Trump for doing that. And so we'll see, though, because on the other side of the coin, there's a very divided America, and I'm not sure how they're going to vote. And whether we become more socialist or not depends on who wins elections. Now, the long term also, you know, I'm a big believer that knowledge is part of how we sort of water the tree of liberty. And that's why the case against socialism hopefully helps to, you know, give that knowledge to a new generation and renew the, you know, the terrible and awful history of what has been socialism. But we'll see what happens. But I don't think it's a given that we remain free unless folks like yourself, folks like myself, the people who follow what we do and are a part of it, unless we fight tooth and nail, I don't think it's a given that we won't succumb to the age-old allure of something for nothing.
Senator, I totally agree. We're talking to Senator Rand Paul, the great fighter of liberty, who has a new book out, The Case Against Socialism. Everyone should go purchase it right now and help get this to be on the bestseller list. It is a great book that lays out the intellectual and philosophical defense for people of all ages, but I especially think it's helpful for students to be able to know how to fight against collectivism and socialism. Senator, I'd like to ask you about something in current events that you have been commenting on that I agree with you on, and I agree with the president on, but it seems that there has been a remarkable amount of bipartisan backlash on the president deciding to actually withdraw some troop presence in Syria. I know this is something you've talked about. I'd love to get your thoughts on the Kurds, the Turkish, I guess you could say their new, some would call it an invasion or the conflict there. I agree and sympathize with you that it's about time we start to de-emphasize our role in the Middle East and have a restrained foreign policy. But I think we're in the minority opinion, and I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
You know, President Trump was very clear. He said the goal was to wipe out ISIS and take the land back that they had taken. So the physical caliphate or land that was being ruled by ISIS has all been taken back. The Kurds did fight with us, but the neocons over here say, oh, the Kurds that are fighting. No, the Kurds fought for where they live, and we helped them. And I think they should be eternally grateful that we helped them. In the end, though, we never promised that we were staying forever. The president explicitly said we were going to defeat ISIS and we were going to come back home. Many other people, the neoconservatives who really believe in eternal intervention and that we must always stay everywhere, wanted us to stay, but we had like 50 troops on the border. The president spoke to the Turkish leader, Erdogan, and he said, look, we've been chomping at the bit for a year to send back 2 million Syrian refugees that have fled into our country, and we need an area that is safe to put them into, and we're doing it. And so the president, I think, wisely consulted with his military commanders and said, well, 50 soldiers, if you have tens of thousands of Turkish troops coming in, is not a deterrent, and it ends up being a possible catastrophe if there's a suicide bombing or if these 50 soldiers are killed, because then everybody in America will demand revenge and we'll be back in the middle of a huge war. So he pulled the troops back as the Turkish troops were coming in. But here's the irony here. People who are worried about the Kurds, I think there's a chance that the Kurds may have now made a deal that was probably needing to be made. They made a deal with Assad. Assad is protecting them currently, and they're also willing to fight themselves. If they'll make a deal to actually live in a Syrian country and not have excursions over into Turkey, and if we can get Assad and Erdogan to meet, maybe there's actually a deal in the offing where the Kurds could develop a type of a homeland similar to the Kurdish semi-autonomous region that they have in Iraq. So I'm actually hopeful. It's not that I don't care about the Kurds. I do, but I care mostly about my oath to the Constitution, which says we don't go to war without a vote. And I think if we had a vote on war, it's not clear who we would actually be fighting against. Our NATO ally, Turkey, Assad, regime change, occupying Syria, would be a much bigger war than we even had in Iraq, where we lost 5,000 soldiers. So I'm not for more war over there. I'm with President Trump on this. But I do think that what we'll find is we might find, and my hope is what we find, is actually that there is a solution where the Kurds actually do find a region where they can be safe within Syria. But they're probably going to have to be under the sovereignty of the Syrian government. I think they're calling me towards my last vote. How are we doing?
No problem, Senator. That's it. Time. Everyone, right. Please go check out the book, Case Against Socialism. Thank you, Senator, for your time.
What a great interview. Again, if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, check out teepusa.com. Support our sponsors. And please go to your podcast provider. Get your phone out right now. Open up your podcast provider. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Press subscribe. Go down, leave that 5-star rating and leave a review. Can you find one friend to do the same? That helps us out tremendously. We are fighting for freedom and liberty in the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. You want to get involved in Turning Point USA or go to one of our events. We have our Student Action Summit in South Florida, December 18th through the 21st. We have Ben Shapiro, Glenn Beck. We have Senator Rand Paul, Dan Crenshaw, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Candace Owens, Don Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, and so many more. TPUSA.com/SAS. That's TPUSA.com/SAS. Check it out. So next time, this is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Thanks so much.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and I'd like to invite you to check out my new show, The Laura Ingraham Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So join me 3 days a week as I cover politics, the culture, everything in between, laugh, learn, all at the same time. We got you locked and loaded, and you'll be ready for the week, ready for the month. And it's very easy. You just subscribe today, download new episodes exclusively at podcastone.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And you know mine's going to be one of your newest.